Natasha Trethewey is the first African-American to hold the title of Poet Laureate since Rita Dove in 1993. She's also the first Southerner since Robert Penn Warren, who was one of the very first laureates. We're wondering this morning, is there a poem or a poet that has deeply inspired you? You can tell us by calling 8778-MY-TAKE. But for Natasha Trethewey, she was inspired to write poetry after the murder of her mother in 1985.
I tried writing poems right after that terrible event. I was 19. I was a college freshman. But the poems that I was writing weren't good poems at all. They were horrible poems. I think the impulse to turn to poetry was right, but I didn't have the level of craft that could actually write a poem, make a poem that was something that I could give away to other people. That took many years. It took me about 20 years before I started writing the poems that appear in my book, Native Guard, the elegies in that book that finally, I think, speak to not only my sense of loss and grief, but the universal nature of loss and grief.
Your poems kind of bring together lyrical language, a great deal of beauty, with also a great deal of really sadness. Sometimes you're talking about ugly events. How do you write poems about momentous, tragic events?
Well, I think that poems actually enable me to cope with such momentous and tragic events. It's sort of like how after the tragic events of September 11th, so many people turned to poetry who had not been turning to poetry before, reading it, writing it. Perhaps more poems were written after that than in many, many years in American history, because poetry seemed like the only place we could turn to make sense of something so terrible and so frightening and so devastating.
How do you see poems reaching out to younger kids? I mean, it seems to me like there's a specific opportunity in the U.S. right now for poets like yourself because of the popularity of spoken verse, because of the mm-hmm. popularity of rap, that this could be a real chance to build a bridge to literature with kids who are now used to hearing it.
Oh, I think that's true. I mean, I think that what's really exciting is the fact that when you're younger, we're drawn to words in different ways. We're drawn to the sounds of things. We're drawn to rhyme, the playfulness of language. I think that if we can keep reminding younger people, children, that poetry can continue to do that for them, can continue to be pleasurable in terms of sonic play, not only what it says, but how it says it, the rhythms and cadences of poems, then we might get a whole other generation who turns to poetry in ways that we haven't turned to in many, many years.
I wonder how you feel about free verse versus including rhyme, including meter. Do you take a stand on that?
Well, I write in both traditional and free verse forms. And of course, you know, most poets who write free verse will tell you it's not exactly free. There are still rules, but the poet's inventing them as she goes along. And maintaining the rules, the sort of internal constraints of a poem, is also a valuable exercise. It's in many ways, of course, different from writing in received forms or sort of given or fixed forms. But it doesn't mean that there's not some formal element in the composition of a free verse poem.
I mean, and obviously, in order to be a poet laureate, you have to be not only a great poet, but you have to be able to perform your poems well. And not every poet can do that. It seems to me like a very different skill.
I think that is true. I think that's why there's the success of Dana Joy's Poetry Out Loud annual competition among high school students. There are students who are not writing poems, but they are memorizing them and reciting them elegantly, excitedly, energetically in ways that I think gets people also excited about poems. When I was growing up, I heard my father reading and reciting his poems, and he's a wonderful reader of his own poems. And I think I, tried to sort of model my own way of reading after listening to my father, who's such a good reader.
Well, since you've mentioned your father, I understand that you are willing to read for us your poem that you wrote for your father, Elegy.
That's right. This is the first poem in my new book, Thrall, which will be out at the end of August. It's called Elegy for My Father. I think by now the river must be thick with salmon. Late August, I imagine it as it was that morning, drizzle needling the surface, mist at the banks like a net settling around us, everything damp and shining. That morning, awkward and heavy in our hip waders, we stalked into the current and found our places, you upstream a few yards and out far deeper. You must remember how the river seeped in over your boots and you grew heavier with that defeat. All day I kept turning to watch you, how first you mimed our guide's casting, then cast your invisible line, slicing the sky between us. And later, rod in hand, how you tried again and again to find that perfect arc, flight of an insect skimming the river's surface. Perhaps you recall I cast my line and reeled in two small trout we could not keep. Because I had to release them, I confess, I thought about the past, working the hooks loose, the fish writhing in my hands, each one slipping away before I could let go. I can tell you now that I try to take it all in, record it for an elegy I'd write one day when the time came. Your daughter, I was that ruthless. What does it matter if I tell you I learned to be? You kept casting your line, and when it did not come back empty, it was tangled with mine. Some nights, dreaming, I step again into the small boat that carried us out and watch the bank receding, my back to where I know we are headed.
Is it a true memory? I mean, did you have that moment with your father?
It is. My father and I took that fishing trip several years ago, and I do remember thinking that there's something so iconic about this moment. Father and daughter fishing, you know, out in the river, the way everything looks, the metaphor sort of naturally inherent in the activity. And I was thinking at that time that I should record this, that I should be remembering this so that I could write a poem about it. What comes into the poem itself is actually sort of quarreling with myself about the fact that I was doing that. It's kind of like when people go to a vacation spot or something beautiful, and instead of actually looking at it and experiencing it, they're behind their camera the whole time.
Do you think of your poems as being particularly American?
Oh, most definitely. They are definitely American poems.
I mean, I can see it, but what in there do you think is American as opposed to any having come from any other country?
Well, I mean, I think what's really, truly American about them in many ways is the subject matter itself. Not only the concerns that I have with American history, but the way that I, as the writer of the poems, really embody a kind of American experience that is at once black and white. It's mixed. It's a kind of hybrid that is really woven into the thread of what this country has been for a very long time.
Well, joining the ranks of Gwendolyn Brooks, Robert Frost, Robert Lowell, our new poet laureate, Natasha Trethewey, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.